just begun. Sponsor. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And my name is Cheryl Catherine Smith, too. It's Ash Riot.
It's Ash Riot. She's decided to be me for a day. What's it like to be me?
I'm caffeinated.
Yeah, well, that's very me.
I don't know. It's fun. I got my hair done today. Actually, her hair looks awesome.
I got my hair done today. Yes, my hair looks awesome. Thank you, Brian Brands. you're funny.
I know.
I'm Ash Riot. That's Cheryl Catherine Smith.
Welcome to Hologram.
I got
really
my hair
like
done
your tattoos.
Today.
Do you like my hair?
Sure, your hair is fabulous.
Thanks.
Yeah, but, your tattoos are pretty cool, too.
Oh.
My tattoos. You like my tattoos?
Yeah, that's what I mean. See, this is a day in the life of us. We just go and go and go on anything. We could talk about... What did I talk about today for, like, the longest time that I was friends with Steve Jobs? And I've never met him before?
Yeah, and I was... Yeah, I was...
We were. I had a child with him.
Yeah, we had our own little interesting... bizarre. If anybody ever walked into one of our bizarre conversations, which we like to just do in fun and just see how crazy and out there we can get, I think they think we're definitely crazy and out there.
Yep. So how are you, everyone?
How are you,
you
all
can't
doing?
Answer back, but
they are. They're answering. Hey, how are you doing?
Answer it out loud.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you guys are doing really good. I know one of you said not so good. What's going on?
Yeah, I hear about it. So
yeah,
how does that
in.
Make you feel?
How does that make you feel? Exactly. And why? Why are you feeling not so great? That's our psychic show.
Yeah, that's our. That would be really cool. Imagine if we like really answered a whole like conversation for people.
Well, we can actually tap in and tune in, just like you guys can kind of tap in and tune in with us. It's just another way of communicating, right?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Today we're really excited because it's February 26th. Happy baby shower to my best friend Casey.
Happy baby shower to you.
Who has been a good friend of mine.
A baby boy and a Benjamin.
my friend who's been my best friend since kindergarten.
Since kindergarten. Isn't that cool?
I had a baby Casey. Named Ben, and it's her baby shower today. She lives in Campbell River. I couldn't be there. And now I have another best friend. And I'm
I'm the replacement friend.
She's not the replacement. She is a beautiful addition because Casey moved away anyway. Snooze, you lose. Love
Casey.
You, Casey.
Moved away. So I had, you know, Ash Riot had a best friend vacancy.
And you took it. Now you're number one.
I took it. No, but Casey's cool. I really like
She's
Casey.
Awesome.
She's really cool. And she had a baby and she had a shower today and your mom packed up a huge deluxe baby bathtub with all sorts of goodies for her. It's really cool. I've never had a friend since I was in kindergarten, and I really admire that with you guys.
Thanks.
That you've, for 21 years.
I'm likable.
You're likable. I guess that proves it. At least one person thinks you're likable.
I know.
For 21 years.
I was going to say one.
And we can't really count family because they're, you know, they can't.
Yes, you can.
Well, okay. So everybody who's ever been my family member, who's still my family member and still around, it's because I'm
likable.
Oh, okay. I like
See?
That one.
Do you like it?
I moved around too much, though, so I didn't have the ability to maintain a lot of friendships. But I have been around.
You have your family is great.
I know. I have fantastic
They're really cool.
friends and family. I'm very blessed. I feel very blessed. So that being said, we have a topic that actually Ash Riot.
I feel before I even say it, I'm going to interrupt you and say I feel like we're Ellen. Because when we at the very beginning of our shows, like, you know how she does that little routine then dances and sits on her chair?
So,
like, before we do our get to our show topic, we're just like, we have our little routine and so...
So this is our dance.
Yeah.
See, because we're doing radio, people don't know that we're dancing, so we have to actually do a little, like, verbal dance.
There.
Yeah.
I did it.
That was a good verbal dance.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve Jobs.
Now, back to you, best friend.
Well, likable Ash, I want you to tell everybody the name of the show because you... picked it out.
Yes, well, we...
Actually, you wanted to talk about technology. I called the show. Technology.
Yeah.
a friend, foe, or a little of both?
Well, what it's about here is I really, really have been, even lately, and I talked to Cheryl about this the other day, technology is kind of screwing with my head, yet I love it. Technology, friend or foe, or both. Like, to me right now, technology is a real blessing, but it's one of the biggest curses ever. And that's because it's, oh, there's a raccoon beside us.
Hey, little raccoon.
Hi, there's a raccoon on my deck.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he's beautiful. I'll name him Charlie. Anyway, so.
I think he looks more like a Miranda.
Oh, he's, how about Miranda Charlie?
How about Charlie Miranda?
Okay. Anyway.
Because it's like Carmen Miranda. Let's get a little,
yeah,
you know, a little fruit hat for him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and a little, I can, maybe we can get like little doll clothes and dress him up. I want to get him a shirt that says, I'm cute, feed
you
me.
Can be the one who tries to put doll clothes on a raccoon with sharp, sharp claws and
Cheryl,
sharp teeth.
Who pets raccoons?
That would be you.
That's right.
Before you lost your limbs.
I actually have pet raccoons. I feed them eggs. So anyway, technology friend or foe, I love him. He's so cute. Or her. Technology friend or foe, the reason why I really wanted to talk about it is because I think that while technology is, like, especially with sites like Facebook and everything and all these social media websites, it's about socializing and bringing us together, but it's totally and completely freaking tearing us apart. It's making us more reclusive. It's making us, you know, you don't even call up a friend anymore. You instant message them. And I think that that's one of the things that's really a detriment to our society right now. Yet, it's look at what we can even do online with this computer and do a radio show and broadcast. Like, it's a blessing, too.
That's right. That's what we say, technology, friend, foe, or a little of both. So basically what I hear you say, Ashriet,
yeah,
it's a little of both.
It is a little of both, and I think that that's a really good thing to talk about, because in the media you're kind of hearing like, oh, great, we got this new phone, $10 with a contract, and oh, you can get your, you know, My Five on there. You can have five people you can call for free. Yet nobody freaking uses it. It's all they want them for the social media. So it's like, it's good things, it's bad things. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, what do I think, or what do our listeners think? Because I'm going to talk a little bit about technology from the standpoint of music, because us being musicians, and we've been recording music for many, many years now, right? Having a lot of experience with studios and even working with technology in terms of, like with your, there's pods for guitars now and all sorts of things, right? Even keys.
Studio boards and yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff with technology. And so I really want to sort of talk about it from a music standpoint as well. And I know we have some musicians who listen in, and they probably can offer us some little bit of their own experience as well and what they think about it. Now, one thing I'll say musically, what technology has done for us as artists is it's been really, really great, because it's opened up. It's no longer the record companies that are running everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about having a record deal or having an A&R guy come out or gal come out and see you and get you, you know, on a label, and then all of a sudden, you know, because you're seen as viable, they'll put some money into you and, you know, put the money into your recording and get you out on tour. So in that way, because we have the computer and the internet, music has changed so drastically, that's an understatement.
Oh yeah, completely.
Understatement. So for most of us independent artists, we have pretty much the same shot in a way, because we're kind of playing on a level playing field.
Yeah.
With regards to accessibility. See, whereas perhaps, you know, our songs right now, we've got 6 songs out on iTunes, and both you and I have our solo projects out, so anybody can buy my album, self-titled, or your album, This Time I'll Forgive You Again, and that's available, you know, technologically on CD Baby and iTunes and Amazon and all that. But even Hologram, we have 6 songs. We don't have any CD out yet, no hard physical CD, but we do have digital, right? And because of technology, we're able to offer our songs digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing, I mean, I've been going down to Los Angeles for many, many years to attend the taxi conferences that it's all about the music business and talking about the music business, and they've got some really great names. I've met some really, really cool people down there who head up different seminars, and, you know, people who have been doing the music, like Prescott Niles, who's the bass player for the Knack, and Randy Jackson was actually there one time, one year before he became an American Idol judge. But yeah, there's a lot of big names that are down there, and they offer their expertise and their opinions. And one of the things that they are saying is exactly that, is there's really no rules anymore because of technology and mostly the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most people want to say that they know what they're talking about, but we really don't. You know, this is one way that technology is, again, even in the music business, friend and foe, because while it's opened up the floodgates for all artists to have the ability to be heard, to be lit, you know, to be seen, it doesn't offer a filtering anymore. There's no filtering on the internet.
It's not even that there's no filtering, because, well, see, that kind of thing is kind of the lesser of the evil, because before, I mean, look at when you turn on, I even posted about this the other day on my Facebook, that there was so much more actual musicians out there. Like turning on MTV or Much Music and actually seeing a band now is so rare. It's all reality TV. They've taken the music stations.
Yeah, that's not a cool thing.
That's not a cool thing. So it's not even really too much about the filtering. I get that, because it's like, oh my God, look at like these million bands, and this one isn't even, you know, a serious band. They don't have their shit together. Yet, think of the 90s. You could turn on the radio and hear a band that not necessarily had to work their butt off in the same way, because they're not using the internet, but they're seen as honing their craft, as doing what they're doing, and legitimately being where they are because of talent. And so much now, because of all the over-processing and even like all the computerized music, it's not so much honest anymore, and I think that's the thing that bugs me the most.
I want to read from Bob Lefset's blog, and this came to me actually a few days ago. I am a subscriber to Bob Lefset's blog, and those musicians out there who aren't, I would strongly suggest that you look him up and check him out. He's an American former, I don't even think he's practicing anymore, but former entertainment lawyer, and he got really involved in the music business and has a really long list of credentials. And so he talks music all the time. It's all about the music business and what's going on in the music business. So he sent out a blog, I don't know, about 5 days ago, and he called it Sun Studios, because he's currently in Memphis and he's doing all the tours and whatnot, right? And he's pretty connected. I mean, it's really interesting who he actually talks to and who, you know, responds to the stuff that he writes. And people know who he is in the music business. Like, everybody who's in the know knows him. And I actually was referred to him by another musician, Trevor Rogers from the Clumsy Lovers. But anyway, I want to read this excerpt because it was totally dead on our topic. This is just an excerpt from Bob Lefset's blog. It's funny, we're in an era where everybody with traction wants to stay in the past. They want us to listen to top 40 radio and buy CDs of the same music they've been selling for years. Whereas the history of music is about entrepreneurship, illegality, and technology. Let's start with the last first, technology. You should have seen some of the machines Sam Phillips recorded on. With the names like Presto, it looked incredibly crude, but it was cutting-edge stuff. That's where we're living today. All this back to analog shit. Go into a recording studio, use the traditional suspects, spent six figures on a record. Don't you get it? Those days are through. The innovators are flying by the seat of their pants using the technology to create something new. And you know what the number one musical instrument is today? The laptop. It fires electronic music. Without the laptop, dead mouse is nothing. And you might think that's a good thing, but the history of music is littered with old farts who think the new thing sucks. And what happens to these people? They're forgotten. If you want to last, embrace the new technology in both recording and distribution. Then you might stumble into success. Sam Phillips was barely making a living. He took chances, and that's how he stumbled into Elvis Presley, who came by to spend $4 to make his own record with Sam's secretary. Mm. So there you have it. He's talking about technology. He's talking about progressing. And this is where we kind of embrace technology. Instead of fighting it, you want to go with the flow of it.
Well, exactly, because it's the majority now. I mean, a band who has a MySpace, a Facebook, a Bandcamp, whatever, they're going to get, you know, even though they're going to be shuffled in with everybody else, they also have a better chance of getting noticed because, you know, not being in with the flow of the river here, well, being an individual is cool. It's the what we have to start realizing is everything is changing because of this technological advancement, even though it could be called a decrease as well. I think that without that, without, you know, actually succumbing to it, how is that, how are we going to really get ahead?
Well, I also want to tell you, when he mentions dead mouse, it's DEADMAU5, and I'm looking at it, I don't even know who this guy is. And he's dead mouse. It's pronounced dead mouse. And I actually looked him up, and he's a Canadian Toronto-based gentleman by the name of Jonathan Thomas Zimmerman. And he was born in 81, and he's got huge mega hits. Yeah. I mean, he's all electronic equipment. This is why Left Sets was saying, without the laptop, dead mouse is nothing, because everything that Jonathan, who's also dead mouse, is creating is all electronic music. And Ash and I looked it on YouTube and checked him out, and he's got, on one of his songs,
like
he's got
20 million hits.
So this is another thing that Left Sets talks a lot about, and what they did and also in Los Angeles talk about is the importance, again, using technology as for artists, mm-hmm. of social media.
Yeah.
So the importance of being, you know, being accessible, MySpace page, mm-hmm. having, you know, being on Twitter, being on Facebook, getting your music out there. But he also talks about how vitally important it is to also get out there and play live, because nothing mm-hmm. beats a live performance, because all of us can sound really great on a recording, yeah. because, you know, talk about technology. I can, you know, sing an entire song off pitch, and then you can use auto-tune, and then, you know, then I sound like I can sing, but then you know, catch me live and forget it, right? So a live performance can't lie, and it's also very intimate. You can relate to your audience directly, and you have that people element. Exactly. But it's usually the song that catches the people's interest and wants to see you live, unless they stumble on you in some club or on stage somewhere.
But why is everything, because of this technology, seeming to sound the same? Because don't you think that with the technology, with the advancement of it, that there should be an advancement in individuality as well, and you know, well, you could really dig and say, sure, well, there's a lot of different bands coming out now. They're like, anything really to do with a laptop, it all sounds the same.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, it's like an artist, right? You know, you take an artist who's a visual artist, and you give him a medium, you give him an oil paint, or you give him acrylic paint, or you give him collage materials, or you give him a soapstone, or you give him or her, I'm just using him mm-hmm. loosely, a piece of wood to whittle away. I mean, so they're using different media, different mediums to create their voice of art. Well, in essence, the laptop is like, it's like an acrylic.
Well, I understand that, but go rewind even 20 years. Look at the beautiful, fabulous days of Nirvana.
Why don't you talk about what you said to me the other day about the 90s?
Yeah, well, I'll talk a little about that. Okay, so you turn on the radio today. This is a different one I was going to say, but I'll say that too. You turn on the radio today, and it's the same. You're either Nickelback or you're like dead mouse. There's not much variety. I mean, the country radio station, everything sounds the same.
I don't hear dead mouse on the radio. You know where I would hear dead mouse?
Where?
Is in a nightclub.
Well, stuff like that. Like, it's all the pop music, like everything that we play for DJing. Like, it's Black Eyed Peas, it's Lady Gaga. It's all very similar, because if you took the vocals out of it, it would sound the same. Like, it's from the same artist. Yet you rewind 20 years and you're back in the 90s, the beautiful, perfect 90s, and you can turn on the radio, you'll hear Nirvana, then you'll hear, say, if you're in Canada, you'll hear Biff Naked, you'll hear Matthew Good, then sure, they'll throw in a rap song, whatever, but there
Our
was
Lady
more...
Peace.
Yeah, there was more differentiation, where they'd even play, like, Holly McNarlin or Hole. Back in the 90s,
Babes
they...
Babes in Toyland.
Yeah, they even played more females back in the 90s. Even like 97, the Big Little Fair boom, whatever. But even without that, like now, it's, I was even told by a radio station that they can only play women, like a big Vancouver radio station. After 11. After 11
serious?
p.m.
Why don't you rat that station out right now?
99.3 The Fox.
And that's terrible.
Yeah.
So shame on you, 99.3
exactly.
The Fox.
Exactly. Because it's like there's certain stuff that they
shouldn't
can...
matter whether you're a male or a female. It should only matter that you're good.
Yeah. Well, there's very few females that, like, you have to be, like, I mean, Evanescence or whatever, and they'll still play it maybe once. But the thing about that is, come on, man. Come on. Like, you had so much more variation before, and why is that? Is it because of the technology?
Because they're scared. I mean, the radio, the one thing about the record companies is that they know nothing now. Everything is out of control. And you check, you know what amazes me is that how many songs right now, they all sound the same. You have usually the female vocalist, sometimes a guy, but a lot of times it's a female vocalist with a rap guy.
Yeah.
And everything seems to be, you know, even Maroon 5, that Move Like Jagger, that really big hit right now, and featuring Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, it's all featuring.
Everybody is featuring, you know.
It's so incestuous.
But I don't think it's incestuous. I think what it is it's desperate.
It
shows desperation on part of the record companies because they don't have it all together now. They don't. A lot of the indie artists are kicking their butts,
yeah.
and so they have all these artists who are signed, and they're just basically trying to say, okay, well, isn't it better to have two known artists on a song than one?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I get it, and I get that completely, and what I was saying about even the 90s is that's a good example. It's like before there was less desperation because you could just present yourself exactly how you are, and even the radio station that I mentioned, I think that that's what they said. It was like after 11, or they could play one rotation, one female. Like, it really sucks. Like, I was just taken aback going, what? Why am I only hearing me on your radio station after 11? And I know it's because I was indie and they played me at indie hour, but even other, like, really famous Canadian musicians, no, you barely hear them. And I was saying to Cheryl the other day, talking about the 90s, and how kind of cutthroat it is now, and how more accepting and, let's just say, hungry the music scene used to be in the 90s, I'm sure that Miss Cheryl Catherine and I would already be, we'd have a record deal. And it's not that we're saying that we're anything shit hot, but thank you for listening to our radio show. it's just, I don't know, I'm really longing for the days where I could just, like, you know, turn on Much Music and you'd see, like, some, like, Silverchair or something, like, real drums and guitars on Much Music.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I shot my video for All Dark Places and Smash Up My Telephone with Marcus Rogers of Sinister Productions, Marcus is really cool. He's also from a band called Cole, and he's had a lot of experience as a musician and also as a filmmaker, as a director. And he's very, very, very passionate about music, and he does most of the, if not all, the DOA
cool
videos, and he's worked with Devin Townsend and other artists too. But the reason why I'm sharing what Marcus and I had a discussion one time about MTV and Much Music and how disgusting it is that they're actually no longer promoting music. It's all about reality television and
like Jersey Shore, MTV,
getting sponsors, getting commercials. What was happening is that people were losing interest, and so these stations that were created solely for showing an artist's visual representation of their music
is now turned into
Jersey Shore, all the dating shows. I can't even remember the names. I mean, they're just basically catering, obviously, to about 14 years old is probably the mean age.
Underage and getting married, like shows that are just nuts.
Why?
The only show I find remotely relating to, you know, music is the jury one, or what is it called again?
The video on trial.
Video on trial.
That's Canadian though. So those American listeners wouldn't know that. That's with Much Music, but MTV is very much the same. MTV is Jersey Shore, isn't it?
I think I'm just biased because Sabrina Jalisse is so awesome. You know, the one who talks.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But anyway, it was that show. Like, it has a comic effect, but it's also they still play music videos. What happened? Music.
Well, and that's what everybody says. And one thing that the Bob Lefsetz, you know, I'm not going to read his blog in its entirety, but he was talking about Sam Phillips and Sun Records, and he's talking about the technology even of cutting edge instruments that Sam was using when he was recording people like Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash. And he's talking about how important and how technology is in the music industry has basically, it's always about using cutting edge things. And so if you're using that formula, then the laptop is also cutting edge. And you and I create music using a board.
I'm grateful for the board, and I'm really grateful for the laptop too.
And, you know, we're in studios using computers. All of my album was recorded using a computer and a computer program.
And I think there's so much ease involved with doing the computer. And, you know, maybe part of me is just an old fart who really, really misses desperately the days of mixtapes. But I really do think that it's important to, you know, just hopefully... If you're going to use the all the good stuff like that everybody's using nowadays, like the Mac laptops and everything, to still hold on to some form of integrity and your roots.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So we have a caller. We have Brian from Vancouver on line two. Hello, Brian.
Hey, it's Brian.
Hi, Brian. I'm wondering who Brian is. Well, we can change your name.
Your name is Brian today.
Hello, Brian. How
I'm
are
Amelia.
You?
Hi.
We're good. Don just texted us and he said, whoops, LOL. So he's sorry he got your name wrong.
It happens all the time.
So, that's okay. I guess you get tired of going Ryan without a B.
Yeah.
So Ryan, you're a musician. Is there anything you wanted to share just based on what we've been talking about?
Yeah, actually, I could probably go on for a long time about this, but I'm not going to. But I'll just say, like, in terms of, like, technology and music, I think that the internet and different mediums like that have been excellent for promotion. Of course, I mean, it doesn't replace getting out there and, you know, and playing in a band, which is something I'm going to be starting to do soon with my band. But, like, I do have friends that they don't really access the internet a whole lot, and they actually still buy physical CDs. It's what they do, right? So that you know, they're still out there, those people. But in terms of, like, stuff being used for making music, like, you know, the computer. I mean, if you look back to, I mean, the 90s were absolutely amazing, as were the 80s, 70s, 60s. If you go back to bands like, you know, like the Beatles, Joan Jett, Heart, Bonnie Tyler, Simon Garfunkel, the Eagles, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, the Smiths, none of them were auto-tuned, you know.
And yeah, Morrissey had the best voice ever.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's crazy. You know, Freddie Mercury from The Queen, he was operatic. You know, like, it's, you know, nowadays technology, I think it's damaged some of the artists. I think it's, you know, I don't know. I think it seems like it's not as, you know, it's rare these days to see people who will just go into a coffee shop and just play a guitar. That, to me, that's what a musician is, somebody who can take their guitar and just go play and give that message, you know, even if their voice isn't great. But lately it just seems all about the image, you know, that a computer screen can produce, that a computer program can make you sound like. And I mean, that's great that Deadmau5 has made, you know, a great name for himself and he's signed by a major label, and that's wonderful. But he wouldn't have that if not for computers, you know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's like there was a time where, you know, someone with a guitar who, you know, just, you know, maybe had like a three-piece band, you know, they could, like, look what the Beatles did. They knew, like, what was it, five or six chords or something like that for most of their songs. And they were, you know, there were four guys who just made it really huge. And, you know, I think that, you know, and they didn't have the internet. They, you know, there were all kinds of resources that people had to tap into, even in the 90s. You know, look at Nirvana. You know, they were geniuses. You know, almost no lead guitar in terms of, like, squealing and screeching. You know, it just, they could play, and it came from their heart. But now it's like, you know, if you're not, like, you know, if you're not, like, this beefed out, tattooed guy who looks like a million bucks if you're not like, you know, a 5'9" woman with an amazing rack and blah, 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 all this stuff, and people aren't going to look at you.
I like how you said rack.
I don't know. I didn't know what to say, but, you know, it's like, seriously, it's because music, like, it's become sexualized. If you can't, you know, if you're not, like, picture perfect, then record companies won't even look at you. You know, it's, you got to have a certain look, and I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's not only picture perfect, Ryan. It's also age. They're all about the age,
they're
too.
Ages.
Because they want you. They want to have as much life out of an artist as they can. So when they see an 18-year-old with the rack and the body and the looks and the voice, then that's they see dollar signs.
Or for goddess's sake, not even the voice, just the body, the rack, the image.
Oh, but nowadays there has to be a voice because
not
of,
true.
I'll tell you this, I say it is true because of the show American Idol, which personally I do not like at all, and I'll probably have a lot of people not listen to me anymore because I know there's a lot of addicts out there. They're addicted to American Idol and things. And I like the show The Voice because they're actually just going on The Voice. They're not really hearing with their eyes, right? So I say that's a step in the right direction, the voice show. But getting back to the ageism, it's because record companies don't want to take too much of a chance, but so they will normally go for the voice with the looks and everything and the young age. But you know what these young men and women are lacking? Songwriting skills.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is, you know, all the people that you talked to us about, you know, you mentioned Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and on, they were all writers.
Yeah.
Right?
They were.
And this is where I think
people that,
And it's sort of, I equate it, you know, like the modeling industry. Auto-tune is like airbrushing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even really the authentic voice, just like an airbrushed Cosmopolitan cover model.
I'd rather hear somebody flat than auto-tuned.
Well, it depends. Some people, jazz singers, they know how to bend notes, right? So it depends how you sing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some really bad flat singers and really bad sharp singers. But if they know how to do it and they have a voice, you know that it's not the way they sing. It's all part of the technique a lot of times,
I
right?
I just want real. Real.
And that's what you mean by the 90s is real.
Well, you look at, like, Nirvana, and they were just, they were a band that did it on their authentic love of creating. Like, Kurt Cobain would have gone crazy if he didn't get those songs out of himself and, you know, basically offering them to everybody. And there was something so honest about that. And even if there were songs that just sounded like absolute chaos, there was beauty in that chaos. And that's what was considered marketable, not just this, you know, manufactured bullshit that we're all hungry, well, seeming to be hungry for nowadays.
But Kurt Cobain was also seen as, he's an amazing songwriter, but he also was a pop songwriter.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So there's a pop, you know, there's sort of a pop element.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the Beatles, Ryan, right?
Yeah, yep.
And the thing about the Beatles that I know is that there is, I don't even know which album, but there's an album that they only did 4 tracks, not even 8. They actually did a whole album on 4 tracks.
Look at the Doors.
Yeah, the Doors did the same thing.
Yeah.
So there, where's technology there? That's all about pure talent, right? Mm-hmm. And not only the artists, but also the engineers. The engineers, kudos to the engineers. Right.
Kudos to, speaking of the Doors, Ray
Absolutely.
Manzarek, who played bass with his left hand and keyboard with the other. Like, where is that talent nowadays?
I actually worked with a guy, Rob Lee. He's
really?
Got that talent. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He did keyboard, bass, and played keys. He was tremendous talent. So there are some people that still have it.
Let's find them.
How does technology affect you as a musician, Brian?
Well,
now. How does it affect you, Brian?
That guy over there. How does it affect me? It depends on how you look at it. I think that, it's helped me gain exposure. It's getting there, in terms of my own music, going to the studio, it's what it's helped me do is because my producer does not like to use auto-tune. He, you know, what he does, like he uses a program called Melodyne, and he'll get me to lay down a track vocally, and he'll use Melodyne to tune it, send me home with that, and actually tell me to, like, he'll tell me to study it, and I do. I come back in, and I can hit every single note that I need to, you know, and that's like, I mean, that's, I think that's the purpose of Melodyne. Melodyne is a beautiful, you know, it leaves things alone that are right, but it, I mean, if you're too off, you're screwed. Nothing's going to help you, right? But I think it's an excellent training tool, but not necessarily something to be used on a, you know, on a final cut. But I think a lot of these programs, for me, have helped me become a better musician and help my vocals because I've had to retrain myself vocally. Technology has helped me. It's easier to reach a larger audience too. I was talking to somebody recently who's been following my music and she lives in San Paulo. You know, it's like, you know, 10 years ago that wouldn't have happened, you know, like just wouldn't have happened.
That,
you know,
that brings up a really good point.
You can really reach people.
Well, I mean, exactly. Like, how is, like, a new band going to get all the way to, like, Belgium or something? You know, it's
unless they tour.
Exactly.
Right?
It's so much cheaper to post something online rather than pay, what, like, $4,000 to take a trip to Europe.
Well, you're not gonna plan a tour until you've got some traction anyway, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, some bands do it kind of presumptuously. They just go off on tour. I know a few bands who've done that and just, you know, tried to gather people that way before even really having a name.
Well, getting back to Kurt Cobain, you're talking about Kurt Cobain.
That's how it used to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but going back to Kurt Cobain, you were talking about Kurt. Both of you were talking about Kurt Cobain, and my understanding of Kurt is that he wrote songs because. Nothing other than they just needed to be created. It had nothing to do with a formula or anybody telling him how to write. He just let them come out, and he didn't even think about them becoming major world hits. It was only about just creating the music, and everything just happened, and that's eventually what caused his demise, is he just got fed up with the record companies trying to tell him, okay, now this is what we want you to do. And so then it limited his creativity, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, of course
it did. That's nasty, because you know what? The music business is a business. And a lot of times we as artists, we kind of forget that, and then we fight against the business of music, right? Because there is a marketing element, and you know, when people start telling you, well, your image should be this, or it's important that you present yourself in such and such a way, or, you know, like I was always say, Jan Arden with her 50 pounds away from superstardom,
awesome.
And... Yeah, 50 pounds too. She wasn't willing to gain it. I mean, it's all, there's a lot of that in this business. And what, the one thing about technology that I think is really great is we're letting the people decide. And it's not about whether you are the right weight or the right height or the right sex or the right color or the right religion or the right anything. It's only about the music.
Yeah, that's true.
And I remember Phil Collins talk from Genesis. Phil Collins, he said, very publicly when the video age started, because Genesis started back when, before MTV even ever was. And then Phil Collins became a solo artist, and he was publicly, he publicly stated that he would never have made it in the music business if he had been in the age of video, because he thought he wasn't a good enough looking guy.
Wow.
And look at that mega talent.
Yeah.
Look at him. I mean, yeah, he's this, you know, shortish, balding guy. You know, but he's amazingly talented. And so I think what's happening is technology has allowed us to kind of just have our music out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people know what we look like based on a picture that we have on our MySpace page, but they're really listening to the music.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Friend, foe, or both?
Both. So what would you say, Ryan? Is technology your friend or your foe or a little of both?
I think it's a little of both. You know, it's, for someone like me, I think, you know, who's, you know, because it's going to be harder to develop a fan base these days when you're a songwriter, you know, when that's what you do. It's because people that are more techno, you know, or like hard rock, you know, they're more likely to get a larger audience just based on today's music. But just being a songwriter, you know, because technology has allowed me to reach out to people and let them reach out to me too and network. I've been able to network with other musicians and actually collaborate a bit because of, you know, technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so, I mean, it's, you know, it's, yeah. To me, it's like, I like to use technology to connect with other people. So I think that's where it's been great in terms of, you know, training myself as a musician. I think it's been great. In terms of, yeah, it's, but again, because of the different, you know, because of computer programs and how much they're used in music these days, I think that's kind of where it's hurt the songwriter. Me being a songwriter too, you guys are songwriters. You know, it's, I think that's kind of, yeah, it's a bit of both. Yeah.
Brian, how did we meet?
Yep.
How did we meet? Because I forget.
We met online.
Technology.
I see, I have no idea because I've heard of you through other people. And then I think we met or something. Wasn't it?
Yeah. On where? Sorry?
We met through different, like, I've heard of you through different people, and then I think we just met online.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we'd heard of each other. Yeah.
It's, so that's a good example. You guys met technologically, right?
Yeah.
And then we had pancakes.
And, it's
and
like
then we had pancakes.
And
the rest is history.
Exactly. We love Ryan, and we urge you all to check his stuff out, too. RyanFerber.com is on our links page on our hologram site.
Yeah, so go on to our hologram site. You'll see Ryan's link. Thank you. Always, we appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much for sharing your own experience and, giving us your thoughts. It means a lot to us, and I'm sure a lot of people are very interested in what you have to say, too. So thanks. I won't call you Brian again.
Thanks,
Ryan.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
Thank you very much, you too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
So there we have it, another musician sort of sharing the same sentiments,
exactly,
right, as what you were saying. And the thing is I don't want to be one of those people that say, oh, it was so good back in the day and it's so lousy now. I think this is true of our lives, never mind the music business or anything that technology has affected. It's just, it's taking what is and making the best of it.
Yeah, and then incorporating what used to mean a lot to you too, because it's all about changing with the times. It's allowing change to not transform you, but I mean, you're at least allowing the change to help you progress.
But go with the flow.
Yeah.
And you know, you're talking about how people, this is off the music topic, how people are using their phones and they're using their computers to be basically their way of communicating. And I'd like to see that kind of, you know, change a little bit, that people aren't so reliant on all of this online or computer or telephone texting, socialization, because nothing beats face-to-face, right? But it does, again, in moderation and in balance, it's a great tool, just like what Ryan was saying, how you met through, you know, online, and then, but you didn't leave it at that. You guys eventually went, you know, face-to-face and met.
Well, the one thing about what you said about, you know, people, and, like, it's one thing to kind of, like, for fun, text your friends sitting across the table at a sushi restaurant, but the other thing is, it's when you let that change your communication and your companionship in real life.
Well, yeah, because it's basically a buffer. I mean, you can use the computer or email or any kind of even online like chatting sites or whatnot. I mean, it's the same as back in my day. It was about the party line, and it's very similar. You know, you could just be whoever you wanted to be, and a lot of it was BS. It wasn't even who you really were. It's like playing a game, and I think this is the thing is, we have to watch that we don't allow our technology to make us inauthentic.
Yeah, that's true.
And we also, you know, have to still energetically be together physically, not just about always through the devices, right?
Exactly, and it's okay to you know, do a lot of things on the internet or even meet people on the internet, because the internet's great, like taking away from music and thinking about even support groups that they have. Or like I was talking to one of my students about like anti-bullying stuff. A lot of times you're scared shitless to actually pick up a phone and say, you know, I've been going through a lot, but it's easier just to email and figure things out. Or, you know, even if you don't, like, I mean, nowadays you can't even just go to a phone booth and look in a phone book and find a number. You look online for it. So I think that there's a lot of good things that technology has done. Let's also just give the phone number in case anybody else wants to call in for the last few minutes.
Sure.
Call in 888-627-6008. We're going to leave the phone line open for probably about 10 more minutes.
Yeah, in the meantime, we're going to continue talking on our topic, technology, friend or foe or a little of both. We've been talking about technology in terms of music, we as musicians and our experience with it, but also now we're talking about it as people. Mm-hmm. One of the things, I was, first time I ever went to Europe, I always wanted to go to Europe, and I went there in 2004. And I've been there quite a few times ever since. But the first time I ever went there, I was in Italy. I was on a train. I was going, I don't know if I was going to Milan or Rome, I can't remember. But I remember sitting on the train, and there was a young couple who sat down across from me, and they both had their cell phones with them. And, you know, they were together, but you'd never know it. We had about, I don't know, at least a three-hour train ride, and the whole time they were both very, very consumed with their devices. We had tables in front of us, and they put their cell phones down, you know, respectively in front of themselves. And they hardly even had any discourse. They hardly had any kind of chatting between them. They had this three-hour train ride, and they were mostly consumed with what was going on with their phones. And that was the first time I really noticed, was in Europe in 2004, was the use of cell phones. It wasn't even like that here. I would go because it's a very touristy place. Mm-hmm. You'd be in the middle, say, of a square where you have some statue or something, or, you know, the fountain, you know, the Treventine fountain or something, and people are all taking pictures with their phones, and their hands are in the air with their phones, click, 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 click. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget my feeling and my sense at that time. I thought, it really stood out to me about this young couple, because they didn't even really talk. They had a three-hour time of just no possibility of interruption. Yeah. Where they could have just spoken, and they could have had, you know, how was your day, honey? You know, all I heard, you know, they'd be answering their phones, pronto, right?
Yeah.
and you know, doing their texting or whatever. And I just was thinking, this is a really good example of where I think that it's actually caused some harm to us as a culture and as a society. Yeah. Because we can be together physically, but yet we're more consumed with our devices. And you and I are guilty of this too, because we like to play our iPhone games and all that.
Yeah.
And we can get
Dream Heights, and then add me, because I want to get more hearts. Please.
See, there you are. So then we can get consumed too, you know, and it's a good distraction, but I think it's really important for us to sort of put the distraction down sometimes, mm-hmm. and just pay attention to what is around us, all of the life that is around us, and mm-hmm. you know, the people and the beautiful natural surroundings.
You can't replace reality.
No, and I mean, a device can be a reality, but it's definitely almost like a cloak too. It can offer some kind of a protection where you don't, you know, nobody can pay attention to your facial expression when you're texting them, right? It's all about the words.
Sometimes it's so much better. Like, seriously.
Well, you know, it's funny too how people can get all, you know, their nose out of joint when a text, they're like, what do you mean by that?
I know.
You know, it's funny. But anyway, I mean, communication is a skill that each of us are striving for, right? To have good communication with each other and to be able to understand each other without mm-hmm. wanting to rip each other's heads off or, or take offense at everything or anything that is said. I do appreciate technology. I get excited when I can sit down at a computer and go online and look at my email. And you know, the beauty of getting ready for this radio show, even, mm-hmm. you know, I could just go online and find out who Deadmau5 is, right?
You know, one good thing I want to mention really quickly, I was thinking about this earlier today, actually, when we were eating lunch. And I don't know why I didn't say anything, but she makes good food, by the way. She is the best cook. Anyway, here it is. I am so happy. I had this realization that, okay, so before when you wanted to, like, I remember even like old magazines, like rock magazines, like Circus or whatever, they would always have this insert in there, and it was all rock memorabilia. So like if you wanted to get like a bootleg of some band's show, it was like $24.99, send it in plus shipping and handling. You're looking at for like an hour concert of a band that's the worst quality, like over 30 bucks, like $35. Now you type it in and go on YouTube and it's free. So if I want to watch a band from the 90s, I don't have to like pick and choose from two bootlegs from a magazine. I can go and watch those same ones online. That's what's cool, is it's so the accessibility of technology, because I've got the opportunity to look at all these bands that I love that are so rare that most of you wouldn't even know about, and that's a blessing to me. I'm so excited about that.
Well, I think that's great, but then that brings us to the other problem in the music business, that or the concern in the music business, is about the monies.
I know.
And where do the monies go, who's making money off of their art? And it's really funny how I feel that a lot of people, their attitudes towards artists I'm not going to say everybody, I don't want to generalize, but my experience, I've performed in a lot of places, and I've been really fortunate to perform in different countries and have different experiences with different artists audiences. And I find it interesting how some people just almost feel like it's a privilege to let you play, and they don't feel that they should be paying you for your art. The thing is that if this is your life's work, you have also a mortgage or rent to pay. You mm-hmm. have a telephone to pay for. You need to pay for studio time. You need to pay for your instruments and upkeep of your instruments. Even, mm-hmm. Even for me, maybe I need to keep up with my own vocal lessons or something if I want to, or some people. So there's money, there's time, energy, and money that we as artists, that we put everything into our art. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny, some of the reactions to, well, you're lucky that you're, it's almost as if people, I think maybe there's a little bit of resentment that they kind of think, well, you're living your dream, and because you're an artist, and what do artists do? It's like fun, it's play. And I have to, slog away at my 9-to-5 job that I can't stand, and how dare you enjoy your life? So I'm not going to pay you for it. I don't know. It's really weird.
I agree. It's, but you know what I've noticed, especially like I've got the opportunity to play, and I mean within a week of each other, going to like Portland, rocking that, like having so much fun, having a sold out show, and people are hungry, standing there with like $5 bills, wanting to buy my first demo, sold out in a couple minutes. Come to Vancouver, and it's just like it's like you have to work to impress them. It's not about wanting to support art.
No.
It's about it sucked the soul out of me. I wanted to go back to America.
And this is why I feel that shows like American Idol, and I know that, again, I will say this is my opinion only. Love me for it, hate me for it. It's the honest truth of me. I think that shows like American Idol have been detrimental to artists because...
I agree.
Because just like Ryan was saying about, there's no auto-tune on Neil Young or Bob Dylan or Joni Mitchell, and they're all great singers, but you can hear the mistakes, but the mistakes become part of the beauty of
it. Yeah, exactly.
And they're not mistakes, and yet we have this sort of pitch-perfect mentality now because of shows like American Idol, and suddenly we have all these judges in our audiences.
Well, like, I'll go back to Kurt Cobain for a minute. And speaking of which, he didn't like to sing the song Penny Royalty.
Yeah.
Because it was really hard for him to sing in the chorus. But because of that, like, and I'm sure if you auto-tuned it, it would take the magic out of it. Yeah, I'd rather have somebody like that just like, having a harder time, having a challenge and making it work rather than no effort going into it because they can just auto-tune it all.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, he didn't like that. Sit and drink Penny Royalty. Yeah. That part, because it's hard. That's a long note to hang on to and to keep in key. But yeah, all of us as artists, I mean, there's certain songs I don't like singing because it's really stretching my range or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be afraid to sing it, and I want to be able to sing it without judgment. And just know that people are with me as opposed to just all the critics with their arms crossed and almost like sports, you know, when people watch sports and they say the team's lousy and they're sitting there with their beer guts and their arms crossed.
And their Doritos.
And their Doritos. And they're you know, criticizing these young men, usually, sometimes young women, but that have been working their butts off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not everything goes according to plan. Exactly. And just instead of just being so judgmental and so critical, why not just see the amount of effort that goes into being not only an athlete but also an artist?
Let's support each other.
Let's live in love, man. Let's kiss trees and accept each other. And I'm grateful for the internet, but I don't rely on it for my success.
That almost sums up the show in saying I'm grateful for the technology, but let's not rely on it.
That's right. We have to just kind of.
That's so funny.
We have to just keep on going. I'm typing. I'm asking Don. If he can please play one of our songs, and we're gonna in closing and next after this. Thank you so much, Ryan, for calling in, and thank you all for listening to our show on technology. Hopefully, you got something out of it, and we welcome again your calls on our next show 2 weeks from now, and also check us out on MySpace. Give us a ringy dingy via email. See the beauty of technology. So we're going to leave you with our song Spun Sun. Here's something that was created on a computer, but using live instruments and vocals. Take care, everybody. We love you.
Bye.
Bye. From the spun sun of